We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts or on our YouTube channel, all over social media, or our morning newsletter, KCSN Daily, dedicated to your Kansas City Chiefs. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of 21 Questions, the KC Sports Network Q&A show that we do for you every single week, where the questions are curated from our KCSN Discord server. I am joined by my good pal, Seltzer aficionado, Tucker D. Franklin. Tucker, my friend, how are you doing this evening?
Craig, I'm doing much better now that I get to hear your voice and get to be with you on this fine evening. I'm a little sad I didn't get serenaded by a song, but listen, this is a nice consolation that I get to just hang out with you.
You know, Kent has ruined the songs for me, because now people can go and listen to Kent and be like, well, that guy can actually sing. Definitely don't want to hear the other guy sing anymore. So I'm just going to, we're going to just bury that for a little while. I did it for a year. That was good enough. So fair. Yeah. There's not a ton of football questions this week, you guys. there aren't. I'm just going to be very upfront with you guys. We still have some Chiefs questions in here. They are dispersed throughout the entire thing, but just giving you a fair warning, the questions are in the doldrums of the NFL season right now. Not a ton of Orlando Brown Jr. contract questions or anything like that, because he hasn't signed yet, although all indicators are good on that. So we'll, I'm sure, have more Chiefs questions, especially as mandatory OTAs come up here and we get more of the guys in-house. We'll talk probably more to Chris Jones, some of these other guys, and we'll have more things to hear from. So we're going to kick it off right now with a question about kickoffs from David Borland. Who do you think will be the three or four players most likely to be returning punts and kickoffs this year for Kansas City, Tucker?
That's a really good question. And I always like doing this and watching, especially at training camp, and watching who are the guys. The big one for me last year was Mike Hughes. Mike Hughes was back there. Yes. So I think that there's going to be another cornerback that's going to be to earn his spot essentially as like the third returner. It's like, you know, McCole Harbin's obviously going to be back there. Probably sure. The main returner is what I would assume. I kind of want to see someone like maybe Trent McDuffie back there. That'd be fun. Another one of these guys. I'm not sure who all has return experience. Another guy that came into my head as a wide receiver, Sky Moore, could be a return guy. I think that that's entirely a possibility, but I think that you'll see mostly wide receivers kind of in that way. Maybe Justin Ross tries to get in the mix a little bit somewhere.
I know he has done it. He has done that before. Yes.
I know that he was kind of.
He was an all-state wide or punt returner like his last year in high school or something like that. So, I mean, yeah, he's got experience doing it. So, yeah.
And I think that that's another way, too, that he could kind of solidify himself as a roster spot. I know that he's already playing really well at the wide receiver position, but just getting on Uncle Dave's, you know, good side is a good start to the career in Kansas City if you can do that. So I think it's going to be mostly guys on the offensive side of the ball, probably some wide receivers that are kind of on the fringe. They're trying to make their way onto this roster. But I always do love to see a cornerback or a safety go back there and try to return some punts, some kicks.
I'm going to say this. I think Pacheeks is the kick returner. I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to end up winning that job. I think he's a roster lock at this point. I really do. And then I think he's going to end up returning kicks as well. He's got that ability. So I'm very interested to see him back there. You know, he's got all these Nile Davis comparisons. Guess what another Nile Davis comparison would be? Returning kicks for Dave. That's true. So, yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Jay the Fan 1. This is way too early in the week, but I need to know who can throw a football farther, former college quarterback Kent at KCSN or former badass college reliever BJ Kissel. Last year, we got to see Tucker with a kick-ass punt, but this year, Tucker, you and I have both caught passes from these two.
That's true.
Who do you think? You know, knowing that, you know, BJ is your boss, kind of. Who do you think has the better arm of the two of them based on just catching passes out there, you know, on the field at like the Shrine Game or something like that?
Yeah, that's a good question because BJ is fully my boss, not even kind of my boss. He is my boss. And I think Kent is the type of guy that when you go and play catch with them and, you know, when you start like close to like kind of warm up, who's throwing just like laser beams and you're just like, let's chill for a second. Okay. Let's work our way into the laser beams. Ken is that type of guy. I'm just like, I'm going to throw it as hard as I can with you 3 feet away. And I've got a few buddies like that. So I had a little experience. BJ and I don't know who throws up. Okay. So you're asking about just throwing it purely farther. You're not talking about distance. Who has the better ball.
So correct.
That's a good question. I think
it's a great competition. We need to set this up. That's what we need to do. Yeah.
I would just probably go with Kent just because of the consistency of the ball, right? I mean, BJ can throw a good spiral, right? I'm not saying BJ can't throw a good spiral. Kent was a college quarterback. So I'm giving the edge to Kent on that one, pushing the odds at -150. I'll probably put it at BJ at +200. Get your money.
See, I think it's funny to watch, especially like out on the field at, you know, in Vegas there.
Yeah.
Two of them throwing the ball back and forth at each other. Like you were talking about, like Kent, you know, starting to zing it a little bit. And BJ catches it and he's like, hey. So he starts to zing it a little bit. And all of a sudden you're just standing there. It's like, I'm not walking between these two. I'm gonna get laid the hell out.
So. Those are two very competitive people too. Yes. So like if you get in the middle and Matty kept talking about how he was going to bury Kent on giving the two small, the same spot where Darrell Williams gave the two small to old buddy
Jonathan Abram. Yeah,
that's right. Those are two guys I wouldn't want to get in between during a competition. And my punt was okay. Just it was the wind was howling at my back. People forget that the wind was going out.
Still got a jersey. That's what matters. Sure. Still got the jersey. All right. JL asks, have you seen Everything Everywhere All at Once? And what are some of your favorite movies that are like mid-low budget movies? I have seen Everything Everywhere All at Once. It is incredible. Don't look anything up about it. Just go see it. It's awesome. If you like kung fu, if you like comedy, if you like sci-fi, if you like any kind of, it is one of those movies that like wife and I sitting there on the couch, you know, you start to play around on your phone a little bit and then the movie sucks you in. And now all of a sudden you're not playing around on your phone anymore. Like it's sitting over there and it's just pure joy. Absolutely pure joy. And then favorite like mid-low tier, you know, budget movie. I love the movie Be Kind Rewind with Jack Black and Mos Def and Danny Glover. That movie, I really, really love that movie. It's got such great heart, good story, kind of an innovative movie that, you know, way that they do that and just the way they pay homage to a whole bunch of other movies. It's awesome.
So where can I stream? Can I stream everywhere, every Everywhere.
This week, yes. Okay. It's available this week, yes.
Because that was one of the ones that I wanted to go see in theaters. And Tara and I do like to go to the theaters just because of the traditional viewing experience. Mm-hmm. There's a really nice theater up by kind of where we live. An AMC, shout out Kansas City Company, by the way. But we go up there, and I think we saw The Northman instead. Like, we were kind of going back and forth, which was an okay movie. Wasn't my favorite. I can't remember who the director is, but he does some weird movies. Like
he did
the
Swiss
Witcher.
Army Man as well. Yes.
And mm-hmm. it's just an odd guy, but a very movies that just are complete experiences. I enjoyed it. But I need to see everything everywhere all at once. It's kind of a mouthful of a title, but my favorite low budget, the first one that came to my head was The Interview. I think we talked about this before.
Oh, yeah.
How The Interview was like my favorite movie for some reason. I don't know why. But then also Nacho Libre. Nacho Libre is like a top 10 film to me just because it's a cult classic, I think. It's one of those.
Two Jack Black movies in that answer. Wow.
Great guy.
Man.
Great guy.
Yeah. Anyway. Just the RK. What is your aviator call sign, Tuck? In honor of Top Gun Maverick, I assume here.
I have a confession, Craig.
Uh-oh. You've not seen Top Gun?
I haven't seen either of them. Yeah. What year did that movie come out?
Oh, late 80s, I believe. Before you were born. Easily before
okay.
you were born.
So, it will cut me some slack. Let's see. Top Gun, 86.
Mm-hmm.
So, not my fault. Haven't seen that movie. Probably, I don't know what my call sign would be. It'd probably have to be like, I really like bears. Like, bears are my favorite animal. So I think let's go with grizzly.
Oh, I actually like that for you a lot. Yes. Unfortunately, mine is goose. most food that you've eaten in one sitting. I'm going to go first here. There was a place when we used to go skiing out in Colorado, that was a barbecue joint, not nearly to the level of Kansas City barbecue. It was just a barbecue joint, be out on the mountain all day long. And I would come and put down, it was a thing that was called the Hog's Trough. And it was 8 pounds of barbecue, sausage, brisket, everything like that. 8 pounds of barbecue. And I put that down and 3 sides. And it was something that I did regularly. Every time that we went out there, I would be able to put that thing down. So that's probably the most that I could eat in one sitting.
I ate a whole rotisserie chicken in college one time. And my friends are still like, remember that one time you bought a Walmart rotisserie chicken and just like ate it? And I was like, yeah
it sounds delicious. Like, let's be real. It sounds delicious.
Yeah. It was a lot of chicken. Like eating a whole like chicken. That's a lot. That'd probably be it.
Speaking of food, Isaac Q asks, what's the food item you wish was served at Chiefs games but isn't, Tucker?
Do they have any like exclusive rights barbecue inside of Arrowhead?
They used to have Jack Stack. I'm not sure what the current licensing agreements are there in the building, but they did used to have Jack Stack.
I was going to say, some cheesy corn from Jack Stack. That is unreal. Or just, like, put that on anything. Because I know at Kauffman, it's, like, Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue is, like, what it is. It's all right, I guess. The last time I went to a Chiefs game, this will be a little fun adventure for us. Last time I went to the Chiefs game, 2019, when they lost to the Texans in the regular season. That was the last Chiefs game I've ever been to. Yes. So it was like 19-14 or something. It was a stupid score. Right. And the game was just kind of dumb all around. That's the last game I've been to. And I don't remember what the options were there, but I think it'd have to be some sort of exclusive barbecue is what you have to, if you're talking about Arrowhead Stadium, you're talking about Kansas City, you want like a Kansas City brand barbecue inside of there.
Yeah. Like give me a Z-Man. Give me the ability to go walk up and get a Z-Man. Like, it's perfect. It's portable, everything like that. But if it's not just, like, barbecue generically, man, I don't know. Like a fish and chips or something like that is, like, the perfect stadium food. It really is, you know, just fried on fried. Like it is the perfect stadium food with some tartar sauce. Just awesome. Now I know that ordering fish in the Midwest and all that, but still, you know, it's great, great stadium food. All right. Leitoni 44. What do you both do during the summer to fill in the void left by not having football? I just work more at my day job. No, spend time with my family, hang out, get to go on a vacation now and again. Yeah, just mostly the stuff that during the weekends that, you know, Sundays are taken up by football and doing all that stuff for KCSN. And it's awesome. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, it's nice to have Sundays where we can hang out with a fam and stuff like that every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I recently got an Xbox, so I've just kind of been playing that. I've been playing Lego Star Wars. That game's not very hard. And then I realized it's because it's for children. That game's for children. And I was like, wow, well, I got done with this in like a week. I was like, why did I get done with this so fast? Oh, it's for children. It's a children's game. That's why. But so, yeah, I've been playing that, playing some FIFA. Well, I really enjoyed finishing, because sometimes it's hard to keep track of the NFL and the Premier League at the same time. And just getting to, like, watch the end of the Premier League, that's kind of what I do. And you know, I follow Sporting and you know, the KC Current, we were talking about that. They're fun. They just got a couple new signings, both from Kansas City, so it's always fun to see that. They got 3 girls named to the women's national team, so that's fun. So doing good things in Kansas City. I do enjoy the other football, and that's probably what I do to fill my time. Sadly, there's no World Cup in the summer. If the World Cup was in the summer, that would be a good answer, but it's in the winter this year. So
don't get me started on that. Hopefully next week we find out that Kansas City gets to host some World Cup games in 2026. That's going to be awesome. And yes. Oh, you bet your ass I'm going to be up there. I already told my place of employ that I was taking the whole week off, just spending it all, just, you know, gone. It's going to be great. So Andy Nagel asks, if you could pick one player from each decade to play on this Chiefs team, who would you pick? Well, we're going to split this up. We're going to start with the 60s. I'm going to start, and then we're going to alternate here. So starting with the 60s here, I think with this current Chiefs team, they had some really good linebackers back there in the 60s. But with this current Chiefs team, I'm going to go with Buck Buchanan to give this team some defensive line depth. Buck was awesome. You know, he's 270, 6'7". He was kind of this hybrid-ish three-tech guy that could kick out a little bit and rush from the outside. Steve Spagnuolo would absolutely love his versatility, his ability to rush the passer, his ability to get after things a little bit. He was the first black player drafted first overall in any professional sport league, drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFL draft. I think that he would be at his peak kind of a perfect complement to what the Chiefs already have along the defensive line and add some depth in there. Tucker, 70s buddy, who you got?
I will say, before I talk about my 70s guy, who I see, I feel like it's a layup with the 70s here. Buck Buchanan, that name, very much a football name. Yeah, that is an all-football name, all-name football team right there. 70s, I'm going with Otis Taylor. I mean, listen, regarded as possibly, arguably, I would say, the best Chiefs wide receiver of all time. Some would argue Tyreek Hill. Some would be wrong, you know? So, I mean, I think that you have to take that in consideration. The Chiefs had some holes coming in at wide receiver. They did address it a little bit in the draft. They signed a few guys. Listen, you can't go wrong having another wide receiver. That's kind of how this league is, especially now. Can't go wrong with having too many weapons. And I think the Patrick Mahomes to Otis Taylor connection would be legendary.
Oh, it would be so good. It would be so good. All right. I got stuck with the 80s here. And when I say stuck, I mean, the Chiefs weren't great in the 80s. They had some guys right at the very end, and I could be cheap here and try and take the guy that I'm pretty sure Tucker's taken in the 90s, but he largely played in the 90s. So I wanted to go with Daron Cherry, but the Chiefs are pretty stacked at safety. So I'm giving him some pass rush help in Art Still. Art Still is yet another 6'7 guy. He was about 253, 255, around there. He's got the Spagsy length to play on the outside. He had 48 and a half sacks for the Chiefs during the 80s. He led the team in sacks a whole bunch of years in a row when the defense wasn't awesome and they didn't have a ton of stars on that team. He was one of those guys that was a star for that team. He currently, Art Still currently, is the number 8 all-time sack leader for the Kansas City Chiefs. So, yeah, give me some pass rush help with that one as well. I notice I'm just sticking with the defensive line here, but yeah. I have to. Tucker, the 90s, buddy.
I think if I didn't say this player, I'd be crucified.
Yes.
It's Derek Thomas, obviously. Greatest Chiefs player, arguably, of all time. Greatest Chiefs legend of all time, I would probably say. Listen, and if we're talking about linebackers, we're talking about getting after quarterbacks. We're talking about a guy who's nasty, who's got a mean streak. How much would this defense change if they had Derek Thomas on? Oh my goodness. That defense would be absolutely disgusting. Derek Thomas gone too soon. Always feel like I have to bring that up when we talk about Derek Thomas. Like, man, just think about the legend that he could have grown. But yep, Derek Thomas in the 90s. That's another layup. Greg's just giving me layups here.
Oh, I am. I'm giving you layups here, but you know, have to there. I feel like I get a layup here a little bit. You know, talking about players from the early aughts here. A guy that I think would be arguably the perfect complement, and I'm taking, once again, a little bit of liberties here because he was drafted in 2008, but I get to do that because it's our rules. Jamaal Charles in this backfield would make this offense just absolutely and utterly terrifying. And I know people are sitting there screaming, it's going, Tony Gonzalez didn't get drafted. Man, listen, Travis Kelce can more than make up for that. I know the two tight end sets and stuff like that, but if Jamaal Charles was in this backfield with the guys that we have already talked about adding to this, Otis Taylor, with the rest of the wide receiver group, with Travis Kelce, Jamaal in that backfield would be, it'd be terrifying. The Chiefs would actually run the ball. Like they would run the ball, and it would be elite. So I'd add Jamaal to this roster.
So I'm 2010s, so that's like, yes, anything pretty much up, and I'd probably say up until 2020. So yeah, this is it. I'm gonna say it, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say it. Let's say Tyreek Hill. Listen, I added two wide receivers on this list here, but I'm not ashamed of saying Tyreek Hill with MVS, with Otis Taylor, with Juju, with Sky Moore, and Patrick Mahomes, and Jamaal Charles, and Travis Kelce. Stop it. Stop it.
Elite. All right. Junton, kicking off. Lots of music questions this week, but kicking it off very, very specific here, Tucker. What are your top three songs from the hit 2015 Churches album, Every Open Eye? Are you familiar with it, sir?
No, but I pulled up their Google page to see if, just like any of them, like, I recognized any of them.
Do you know any Churches songs?
I think if I go to their Spotify and see like their most streamed songs, I'd probably know like the top one. I definitely know who Churches are.
Okay. Yes.
So yeah, I don't know if you have one.
Yeah, my personal favorites. I really like "Getaway," which is kind of like a B-side special edition song on this. "Empty Threat" as well, and "Clearest Blue" are all really good. One of my very favorite Churches songs, though, is actually a cover that they did of Kendrick Lamar's "Love." It is excellent, absolutely excellent. So, I'm a Churches-ish fan. I enjoy their stuff. So Tucker right now, for the audio listeners, just muted himself, turned on his phone, and then listened to a Churches song really quick to verify whether or not he knew them And you do, don't you, buddy?
Yeah, it's Clear as Blue. That's the one I played. Yeah, I do know that song. Yeah. Okay. So Afterglow seems familiar too. I feel like I've heard that song as well. Just from this album. But yeah, seems like a smash hit in 2015. In 2015, I would have been 17. So
Oh, stop.
Sorry about that. Stop.
All right. Nick asks, if you have one, what's your dream car and why? Tucker, do you have a dream car? You much of a car guy?
I'm not really. I drive a Ford Focus right now, just kind of because of the fuel efficiency is why I got it. Because when I did get it, I was working for a local newspaper and I was covering like, I think 10 different high schools in the county, and it's a large county. So I was driving all over the place to like games and stuff. So I was like, I have to have a fuel efficient car. So that's what I got. And I think I've decided that I want an electric car. The next car I'm going to get is probably going to be electric. It was a Tesla for a long time. I was like, man, I really want a Tesla. And I still like Teslas. But I mean, there's just so many advancements in electric vehicles. Like Ford's coming out with electric trucks, like electric F-150s, which is the highest selling car in the country. Not only truck, it's a car, but they're making it into an electric vehicle. Sorry, I didn't know I was going to get on a tangent in electric vehicles. But no, I think that's kind of, I don't know specifically what it is, but I think an electric vehicle would be probably the next step for me. Maybe call it a dream, I guess.
Yeah, no, I want an electric vehicle as well. Really like the Hyundai Ioniq and the Kia EV6 that are out right now. But mine is a late 70s International Scout 2 Rally. You've probably seen them before. If you Google it, you're going to look at it and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that truck, that thing. Really like it. Nice hard top, you know, looks a little bit like some of those old, you know, Ford Broncos, but it's way flashier. And then I too, if I found one where the engine wasn't in great shape, that would be a vehicle that I would like to yank that out of and also turn it electric, you know, get some electric motors, some batteries, convert it, do the EV swap on it, you know, all the free time I have. That sounds like a great choice there. But yeah, no, I really like, you know, the International Scout 2s. See them driving around, really sharp, really, really sharp, especially the late 70s ones.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, Zach Siminer asks another music question. Favorite EDM song? I could start here, Tucker, unless you have one off the top of your head. Yeah, I don't listen to a lot of current EDM, but in the early 2000s, was way into psytrance for a while. Infected Mushrooms, I'm the Supervisor album is still one that I go back to every once in a while. I really like that album as a whole. Their other album, Converting Vegetarians, that came out just a little bit after that is also very, very, very good. Also shifting a little bit to more world style psytrance, Spongle, excellent music. The Nothing Last album is still one of those that I put on when I'm laying out circuit boards and stuff like that for work. It's very soothing background music. It's work fuel. So that album specifically is one I can always throw on because there's no breaks. You don't know where the songs end and, you know, start and stop. It's just kind of one long flowing album. So it's like 42 minutes of just bliss.
I do really enjoy that. I enjoy that about albums when they flow from like one song to another. And especially I appreciate it more when they aren't, you know, when there's a lot of heavy lyrics involved, when you're just like, oh, they just like, this is a different song now. And you're just like, oh, I'm trying to think what album it was. I think it might've been To Pimp a Butterfly was like that for Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, yes.
Like, you listen to it and it just like all flows together and it's just very satisfying. That's a good way to put it.
And you hear that like on To Pimp a Butterfly, the singles stick out there, but the rest of it just kind of, you know, moves in and out from song to song. It's great. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's one of my favorite albums, favorite EDM song. So when I was in high school, we listened to a lot of EDM type stuff for like weightlifting. Maybe that's more dubstep than it is EDM. I don't know. I don't know where the line gets drawn there. But so we could only listen to that because we didn't want any cuss words, right? So we would listen to songs like that. So I kind of grew to not like that because I'm just like, I don't want to lift to Bangarang again by Skrillex. I don't want to listen to My Dreams Have Nightmares or whatever it is from Skrillex. You know, those are the songs that I think of when I hear EDM, but I don't think that that's right. Like, I don't think that that's like the proper, what I should think of when someone says like, oh, do you listen to EDM? I shouldn't think of Skrillex.
Yeah. I mean, that's what your relationship is with it. Go listen to some Spongle. You're going to do that while you're like playing Lego Star Wars later. And you're going to be like, wow, I'm getting a lot of stuff done. All right, Casey from KC. Chiefs question again. What are the chances the Chiefs add anyone else to their defense prior to the season start, Tucker?
I mean, I got to think it's pretty high. They got to do something else at the defensive end. I kind of feel like that's kind of – it's been not talked about very much, I guess, since Karlaftis was drafted. I don't think that that's the fix that they had in mind necessarily. At least I hope it's not. No offense to George Karlaftis, but I don't want him to do the production I would be happy if he did the production of two guys.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, if he does it, like, we're going to be very happy, but right. That's a lot to put on him. Yes.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And I think they got to have somebody else. Just rotationally, just bodies-wise, they've got to add somebody else. And maybe I don't even know who it would be at this point. We've gotten so late into the season, we're just like, it's going to be somebody who we haven't thought about for 6 months. And they're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, probably going to be somebody like that. I agree. It's going to be defensive line. I think that they're very happy with their secondary right now. They're obviously very happy with their linebackers. I mean, Andy came out and Nick Bolton took the podium today as well, gushed about how nice it is to play the mic and how he's getting comfortable with that. Andy talked about how much Willie and Nick have been playing really well together. So I think that they're extremely happy with their linebackers and their secondary. So, yeah, I think it has to be along the defensive line. But we'll see, though. I don't know, man. Like, there's a small part of me that is just as we get further into this, becomes more and more intrigued by what they're seeing in Joshua Kando. And I realize that's a lot to put at the feet of that guy as well. But was at Von Miller's Pass Rush Summit recently. Yeah. I mean, I was invited to that, came to that. But it makes me wonder, because obviously they're seeing him in the building. He's there with all of that. Are they looking at that and going, hey, listen, we don't need that secondary rusher because we have Joshua. We feel good about him and Dana as the second line here with Karlaftis and Frank Clark. And we can wait until cut down day and maybe try and add a player then, or Malik Herring steps up or something like that. You know, you can maybe get by with those guys, but the further we get into this, because mandatory OTAs are coming up, you know, further we get into this, the more and more I'm starting to get very intrigued by what they have been seeing out of Joshua Kando.
what I thought was really interesting too is I'm pretty sure Karloftis was the only rookie invited to the Von Miller camp. So that
was he? Oh, I didn't look over all that. Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, I think he was the only rookie. So that's not nothing. I'll say
no, that's not nothing. My man's out here working. He's putting in the work. Can't say that. Maybe Frank Clark has a good year. I said this to Tucker before we started because I was looking over the sacks list. Frank Clark has 12 sacks, and yes, I know what you're saying in your mind right now, but Frank Clark has had 12 sacks in a season before. If Frank Clark has 12 sacks for the Chiefs this year, he will be ninth all-time in Chiefs sacks in the history of the Chiefs. He will be ninth all-time since the 60s.
Put him in the Ring of Honor.
It is what it is. It is what it is. Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor. Do you think that Tyrann Mathieu's in the Ring of Honor? That's a question for me. I think so too. I think that, and I saw our good buddy Charles Goldman made this point as well. It's like, if you look at the stats right there, where it's, you know, if you just separated, not just the years, but if you just separated two times All Pro, one time Super Bowl champ, there are guys that are in the Chiefs Ring of Honor for less than that. They are. And I, you know, that's not trying to slight those guys, but he did a lot for in a little amount of time. So totally agree. Totally agree that he should be in the Ring of Honor. All right, Duncan Anglin, what is your wackiest cocktail? Mr. Seltzer, do you want to take this one first, or you want mine?
No, I think the definition of wacky could be you could go all over the place, but
sure.
I tried this. I went up to Holiday for their bourbon release, and you know, Patrick, I almost said Patrick Reed. He's a golfer who's not the same
Patrick,
guy.
Patrick Fee. Yes.
Patrick Fee is his name. Not Patrick Reed. Patrick Fee came up to me. And he's like, hey, you've got to check out what we've got. Like, you've got to go over here, check these out. They're called Corktails. They mix their 360 vodka with like, so it's basically all vodka. Then they top it with cork is basically what it is. I housed a few of
people
those.
What cork is.
Cork seltzer. Is the Boulevard Hard Seltzer is what that is.
Yes. Yeah.
That's local to Kansas City. I believe you can get them like shipped to you. If I remember right. If you go to Boulevard's website, you can get them shipped to you. They're pretty good. They really do rank up pretty high on my scale of seltzers. I'm gonna have to go back because people keep like telling me, like, oh, you have to rank the quirks, and then I keep saying I've tried the quirks before, so it doesn't really work for the chugs, but I think I'm just going to have to like throw that rule out the window and just, I'm going to have to chug them and drink them anyway, because people want me to rank them so bad. So sure. I think that's probably going to have to happen, but yes, I don't know if that really just like falls under the wacky category, but I just think taking alcohol and mixing it with more alcohol is kind of wacky. So I'm going to go with just like a nice seltzer cocktail. They're really light and refreshing. And they get you a little buzzed. They do.
Very, very on brand of you, buddy. Yeah, very, very on brand. I've had a lot of weird cocktails. I am one of those people that if I go and I look at a bar menu and something jumps out and I'm like, I've never had anything like that before, I need to try it. And so this past weekend, when I happened to be up in Kansas City for a brief period of time, the wife and I went to little speakeasy in Shawnee called Drastic Measures. And I had the Culture Club, which is a goat cheese washed Blanco tequila with macerated strawberry and lemon. And boy, let me tell you, it was good. I also had myself something that was called the Bright Tiger, which was poblano distilled gin, pineapple cider, basil, and lime. And that poblano gin was like the aftertaste was all spice. It was wonderful. It was perfect. Like everything at Drastic Measures that they make is excellent, and it's different, and it's awesome. So highly recommend. Kay Gumminger. Craig, when you hug Tucker, do you rest your head on top of his head, or do you just pull him in as tight as possible, buddy? I think I'd have to actually squat a little bit to put my head on top of Tucker's head.
Yeah, you would. I'm like belly button height.
All right, Ross Toyer. Tucker, what's a good story from your road trip from BJ to the Shrine game that you're willing to share?
That's a good question. So on the way back, we stopped at Zion National Park. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. One of the best national parks I think that I've been to, but I think it's considered one of the best in the country. It's incredibly beautiful. The Red Rocks are, it's crazy how nature does that. I just don't like, you have to see it. Like, I know, like, pictures don't do it justice. You have to see it. And that is kind of the cool thing is that, you know, BJ and I pulled up and they're like, hey, we're not, the parking lot's full up at the top. We're not going to let you guys up. And we're like, all right, I mean, that's fine. We'll walk around down here, like the welcome center. And we waited for like an hour or so. I think we were going to record a podcast or something, but the Wi-Fi wasn't good. Shocker. In the middle of a national park, the Wi-Fi wasn't good. And then we're like, all right, we'll just pack up and go back. And then the park ranger like came like and got us and was like, hey, we're open now. So if you guys like want to turn around and come back, go back. So we went up and we spent like 3 or 4 hours at Zion National Park on our way back when we were supposed to be, you know, going back home. This was after a super long week in Vegas.
It was.
Driving out there already was kind of just like took a lot out of us. And then we had to do stuff in Vegas type of deal. But it was kind of a good little pause and just, you know, there was no cell phone service there. So like you couldn't get any calls or messages or anything like that. So it was just kind of one of those moments where you stop and just enjoy the nature around you. I thought it was really cool.
Nice. I'm jealous. That sounds like a lot of fun. Yep. Zach Eisen asks, first impressions of each other. Man, it's been a long time. I kind of known Tucker through like Twitter and interacting through Twitter for a while now. Yep. I think the first time that Tucker and I kind of hung out, I was watching College Prospects for the Draft Guide a few years back. And occasionally I would just kind of reach out to some people and say, hey, you guys want to jump in, watch some old 22, talk about some prospects, you know, some of the people that were talking about the draft and a lot. And I think I've added you and Jordan Foote and Connor Christofferson. Mm-hmm. Is it Christofferson? What is it?
Christofferson.
Okay. I doubted myself the moment it came out of my mouth.
Yeah. Like Chris Christofferson. Like,
yes. Yeah. That's why I was like, no, that's not right. But yeah, invited you guys to jump on. And so like we got to hang out, watch some prospects a little bit. I think I did it like 2 or 3 weeks later and those guys couldn't jump in. So Tucker and I were just hanging out and watching prospects and like getting to know each other a little bit. And I mean, he's a kind dude that loved football. And it was just like, yeah, let's hang out for a little while and watch some prospects.
I believe I actually had you on the Roughy the Kicker podcast just before we that. And that was same night.
Right. That was the start. That's right.
So yeah. I think that was really the first time that we talked was I had you on the podcast. We talked about probably the defenses, I assume we talked about. But and then we watched prospects. I remember we watched a wide receiver from Oklahoma State.
Tylan Wallace, baby.
We watched Tylan Wallace and we watched the other kid, the Tevin Jenkins.
Yes.
Oh, dude's nasty. Oh, but yeah, those are the first prospects we watched at Oklahoma State and maybe I think Oklahoma State, Texas.
I think it was Texas because they were playing Osai. Yes. That was a really fun game for all three of those guys. Yeah. Justy RK asks, who's the strongest Avenger? I mean, it's Tucker's not all the way caught up on Marvel.
Yeah, like, that's true.
He'll cringe here, but so I'm gonna answer for him. It's Captain Marvel. It's just Captain Marvel. There's just no disputing it. She's the strongest Avenger. No Chicken Tonight. Which Chiefs coaching addition or position switch are you most excited about, and why, Tucker?
I'm gonna say Matt Nagy. That might kind of be an easy layup answer, but like,
no, but it's a little under the radar. Nobody's talking about that anymore. Right. Yeah.
And let's be honest. He didn't have a good time in Chicago. He didn't.
No.
He didn't do a good job calling plays. He didn't do a good job as a head coach. He didn't do a good job managing a lot of things in Chicago. So I'm excited to see him come back and kind of, redeem himself almost and just see like what else he can do and he can add to the offense and taking some of that outside influence that he learned like in Chicago with a bunch of different people around him and bringing it into Kansas City kind of almost as a breath of fresh air, but who's someone who's familiar with the system, who knows what works and knows what doesn't, and also has outside experience, I think is another one that's really exciting to me.
Yeah, I've talked about it before, but Joe Cullen, I think Joe Cullen's going to open up things pretty drastically for this defensive line. it makes me kind of hand in hand with the Joshua Kando stuff. It makes me wonder if they're seeing some of this. And also interior defensive line, haven't added a whole bunch of bodies there as well. And we kind of thought, hey, at some point they're going to do something about this, right? Maybe Joe Cullen's looking at those guys and going, nope, this is, I can work with this. Give me these guys and talking with Spags about it. And so I'm hyped. I'm hyped for Joe Cullen. Mike Denny, Tucker is a vibrant youth. What advice do you have for Craig? And Craig, as an old, what advice do you have for Tucker and the youths? Tucker, what advice do you have for old farts like me?
I don't know if, like, I don't feel like it's my place to give you advice. You know, I just, that doesn't feel right. Like, it doesn't, I don't know, I don't really have any advice because I don't think that I can say anything insightful. You know?
You don't, well, I mean, That's good advice that I guess maybe you don't know everything. That's because none of us do. Mine would be, it's something that I tell my employees a lot, like at work, and something that I do a terrible job with myself, and I have to remind myself of it a lot. Do what you can do and control what you can control. It's very, very, very easy. Especially right now when things are so polarizing and everything is the biggest issue in the world, to feel like you're overwhelmed, to feel like things are targeting you, things are, you know, even, or people are targeting you, especially on the internet, like that happens a lot, you know. Let it roll off your back. Control what you can control. Be who you are and just do what you can do inside your own lane. If you want try and do something a little bit more, take the initiative and do it. But sitting around worrying about it, trying to take on that extra stressor is just not healthy. So just control what you can control and ignore those that try and control you for what you are. So perfect. Positivitoasty, who would you draft number one overall in a fantasy football draft, either dynasty or redraft leagues? Just whoever, Tucker. Who are you seeing as a number one overall worthy pick this year?
That's a good question. I used to be like really into like fantasy football, mm-hmm. and like the strategy of it all I thought was really fun. And then it's like a couple years ago, I started drafting for like who I thought were good football players, and that doesn't always translate fantasy wise.
Right.
So you can think that someone's a really good football player, but not translate fantasy wise. And I know that like running backs are a very valued position in fantasy. It's quite literally the opposite in roster building in the NFL. So which I think is kind of funny. But I think when you're looking at running backs, you know, you've had your Christian McCaffrey's kind of fall off. You've had your Saquon Barkley's kind of fall off. So you're kind of trying to find that next running back that you would go with number one overall in a fantasy. You know, I would, dare I say Travis Kelce maybe? Just because the position isn't that deep. If you get a good tight end, you're kind of set. You're kind of set if you got a good tight end. I don't think it's that crazy to draft Travis Kelce number one overall, because as I started talking about running backs, I was like, you know what? There's not really a ton of like clear cut guys out there.
Like Travis Kelce, like on like consensus boards and stuff like that, is like number 12. If you're drafting first overall, you're not picking again in a typical snake draft until, you know, like the end of, you know, the mid 20s here. Right. If you're in like a 12 team league, like, taking Travis Kelce number one overall, and we talk about that with the draft and stuff like that. Can't trade back. You can't get that value there. Take the guy, you know, take him there. I mean, I think Jonathan Taylor's the move for number one overall. I just think that he's still going to get all of the volume there. I am a little wary of Derrick Henry this year. You just mentioned those other guys that have fallen off a little bit. Derrick Henry's different. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's a different dude, but I'm a little curious if this is maybe going to be the year where he starts to take a little bit of a step back. For wide receiver, though, give me Cooper Kupp. He just got paid, and he didn't get paid as much as the rest of the NFLs in the league are getting paid. Lots of guarantees, which good for him, but Cooper Kupp's getting all the volume in that offense, just absolutely all of it. All right, Hobo Joe 93 asks, with the Deshaun Watson situation going on and the uncertainty there with him, could Cleveland potentially become sellers of their roster? I mean, if Deshaun Watson gets suspended for multiple years, which it remains to be seen what's going to happen, everybody kind of points to the Trevor Bauer suspension. So that's kind of the general consensus is it going to be the 2 years for Deshaun Watson? And with everything that's coming out, it's starting to maybe lean that way. If it's a 2 year thing, they need picks and they're going to need them sooner rather than later, because they've mortgaged their future now for a player that can't play and will now be 3 years out of football if that occurs, because he didn't play last year for the Houston Texans, and they've got all this money sunk in and he's going to be the one that's taking up all the money. So they're gonna have no picks for him. They may become sellers of their roster. Now, they're not going to sell Myles Garrett before anybody jumps out at that. They're not going to sell Myles Garrett, but there are some pieces that I could see them looking at and being like, listen, they're not going to be part of the future 3 years from now. Let's start recouping some of this right now.
Yeah, I mean, they re-signed Dearness Johnson to a deal that I thought was larger than he was going to get. Their running back room is kind of, good for Deion Johnson. Their running back room is kind of getting a little crowded when you start talking about Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, all those guys. I know there's been Chiefs fans have thrown out there bringing back Kareem Hunt. I think that's an awful idea. I just want to say that. I think that's terrible. But I think that, you'd have to say that they would have to be. I think their hand is almost forced in that situation if he does get suspended for multiple years, even just 1 year, honestly. That's tough. And why are we so convinced that Deshaun Watson is going to come back and be good? Like, how come that's kind of like a general consensus?
Especially if he's 3 years removed from football.
Yeah.
Like, if that really does, like, that's a lot. And you know Baker's going to tell him to shove it. I hope he does. And, yeah. I mean, like, he's going to get paid either way. Like, that money's his, so why not? And it would make sense for him to just be like, nope, it's Jacoby Brissett's team. Like, and that's fine, you know.
Good for Jacoby.
Jacoby Brissett he's a fine quarterback. They would be fine with him, but they're not winning anything with that. You know, they're not winning anything serious there. So, all right. Molly Salt says, fellas, I believe that all of KC's draft picks through Kennard, so through the fifth round, will start based on merit during their first contract. Do you agree with that sentiment, Tucker?
I originally read this as first year, and I was like, I don't know about that. First contract, though, kind of opens it up a little bit. In the first 3 years, really, for a lot of these guys. Yeah, I'll say I agree with that. I think bullish is the right word I want to use. It's not bear, it's bull. Yeah. I'm a little bullish on this draft class, I think, especially Kennard. We're not talking enough about that guy. I'll say it right now. I don't think we're talking enough about that guy. I really like him. He's a Duke guy, so if Duke's going to train him, I'm going to like him. Now you got three.
Yeah.
You're going to have the whole Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Darren Kennard eventually. All three of those guys trained with Duke. And it's going to be incredible. Some nasty guys. I mean, I just think that I saw this message get sent in the Discord, and I started immediately thinking about it, and I was like, that's what I thought. My thought process was, how come we're not talking about Darren Kennard enough? But yeah, I think it's incredibly possible. Yeah.
I think Leo Chanel is going to be the starting Sam year one.
Yeah.
At some point on merit. I think that Sky Moore is going to earn starting reps. I don't know if it'll be in the slot or what it will be, but I mean, like, he's going to earn starting reps. Obviously, Karloftis and McDuffie are going to start this year. Brian Cook is the only other guy that's in there that you got to have a question about. I think he's going to start. Josh Williams would be the one, and I am a big Josh Williams fan. I think it might be year two and a half. Again, we talked about this a little bit. I think he might be on the Charvarius Ward path. Like, grow into the role, maybe claim a starting spot midway through a season and just kind of hold on to it and continue to grow as a player. And then maybe you make some money at the end of your rookie deal. So, yeah, I can see that for him. Jacob M., as the one-year anniversary of KCSN approaches, what is your favorite moment or memory while at KCSN? There are too many. There are way too many. I mean, we joke about them all the time. You know, Vegas was awesome. Getting to hang out with these guys, eating street corn with Tucker. We joke about that a lot. My man loves street corn. Absolutely loves street corn. All the charity stuff that we've been able to do, all the money we've been able to donate is incredible. Doing this draft show recently and having you guys donate more to Therese's, you know, scholarship. That's awesome. I got to go up this past week and do a Feed It Forward as well. Tucker did one this past week as well. We did two Feed It Forwards this past weekend. So that's the type of stuff that I love the most. These guys are going to be my friends. You know, I'm going to be friends with them regardless, but the KCSN side of it, you know, the helping people side of it is the most important part. I know I say that all the time, beat it like a drum, but I really do genuinely mean it. So that's the stuff that sticks out to me the most.
Yeah, I think, and raising that much money, I think for Therese, just in a 3-day period, was just kind of one of those things where I was just like, insane. What do we do for the AFC Championship game? We raised like $10,000 to raffle off tickets, and what led to our Feed It Forward campaign was people's generosity during the AFC Championship game. And I just think that's coming from
you guys, by the way. coming from you guys. Yeah,
that's the crazy part. I think is every time we do one of these to say like, hey, we're going to help an area of need in Kansas City, and just seeing all the support from you know, subscribers, people who don't subscribe but just follow, and people who just, you know, hear us every now and again, I think is incredible. And I think that's kind of been the biggest memory, is just like seeing how much this has grown from, you know, we have the people obviously who've been here since day one, and we've got people who are coming in and are quickly becoming day ones almost. Yeah. It seems like that stick around. So that's just, I think the growth has been my favorite memory, and just seeing everyone kind of chip in for a common cause. It's good to see that nowadays.
It is. It really is. Really, really is. All right, Tucker. Final question comes from Joe Penfield. He says, how much money would it take for Craig and Tucker to chug a seltzer on the podcast together? Well, Tucker or Joel, I got a question, or I got an answer for you there. I don't really drink seltzers. I also don't really chug. So this is going to be a little bit painful for me to do, buddy. But if you want to donate somebody, we just got done talking about it. If you want to donate, throw a little money, Boys and Girls Club, Therese Paylor Foundation, throw it to a DJ's Defend the Dream Foundation that we support during the season as well. Throw it towards any of those. Just chip in a little money. Help out for somebody. We're going to do some Seltzies, Tuck. In honor of Mr. Seltzer, TikTok himself, we're going to close on this one. Terrible at chugging, Tucker. You're going to smoke me on this. Cheers, buddy.
I might spit up in my face. Oh, they don't go down very easy.
No. Why do you do that?
I thought it'd be funny one time. I didn't know I was going to do 40-something episodes of it.
Is this where I say 6.9? Is that how we do it?
Yeah, that mango one was not good, though. I'll tell you what. That mango one, not good. That mango is probably like a... Nope. It's a 5.8. 5.8 for the mango. Bud Light mango. Heard it here first. That's a review. Craig, what did you have for your review?
I had the Sonic Hard Seltzer Cherry Limeade. I love it.
Actually, fun fact, Joel Penfield loves the Sonic ones. That's like his favorite. He loves the Sonic ones.
There you go, Joel. I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Hooked you up. You better throw some money now. All right. That's going to do it for 21 questions. Thank you all so much for submitting your questions, for watching this far, for all of that stuff. We will be back next week with more podcasts and more Chiefs news. Some special guests. It's going to be fun. We will catch you later.